Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. We are glad you're here tonight, and we're glad you're joining us. And I know we're trying the live stream again, so thank you to everyone who's joining us, if anyone's joining us online. We're excited that you guys are here. We're excited that our audience base is building. We're excited that the last video that we posted just this week is almost up to 4,000 views, which is incredible. Thank you all for that so much. And now that I've prattled on for a good probably 30 seconds, I've talked way too much. I want to say assalamu alaikum to Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon all our listeners. And once again, Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak. May this blessed month of Ramadan bring goodness to all, one and all, your families, your friends, your neighbors, your communities, and to the entire humanity. So Carl, now we are in Ramadan, we're in the depths of it. The first 10 days are close to completion here. And I want to ask you, how has the vibe been? How have you felt the vibe? How have you been feeling in the course of this first 10 days of Ramadan?
Well, I will say that you know, my wife and I were talking about this the other day, and I think I would very much echo her sentiment, which is that there seems to be a peace about Ramadan, and there seems to be a peace within us and with those around us, and things that normally cause stress and situations that normally cause issues aren't there. And well, they may be there, but there's more peace and relaxation and calm about it than there is normally.
So basically, I would echo the sentiments that you just stated. There is a sense of serenity, and how can you say that? It's as if you can stop time and you can allow yourself to observe the time that you were so engrossed in prior to Ramadan. You can kind of like put a pause button and analyze what's happening around you. So that's so true, Carl. Regardless of what's happening in the world, regardless of what's happening in our neck of the woods, we find a sense of serenity and a sense of calm, as if it's kind of telling us indirectly it's all okay or it's all going to be okay.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's kind of where we are. And it really is going to be okay. I know that when we turn on the news or we open any of our social media, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, and you look at this stuff, it doesn't seem like it's going to be okay. It doesn't seem like things are going in an okay direction. But the truth of the matter is that while we're fasting through all of this, and while we're doing all of this, it is actually going to be okay. And Ramadan brings that peace and brings that serenity, and it brings that reminder that it's all going to be okay.
And it brings that reminder in the form of allowing us to believe that we can be instrumental, even if we're one individual out of 7+ billion people. It allows us to believe that if all of us, the 1.6 billion Muslims on the face of this earth right now, if they can equip themselves with the necessary tools, then they could make a great stride and make great advancements towards making that world okay. But Carl, I want to relate to you some things that I observed in the first 10 days of Ramadan. In addition to it being the days and nights of mercy, I think we spoke briefly about it and outlined it in our last podcast. But, you know, I feel and please interject or correct me if you feel I'm wrong, that when something happens for too long, we tend to lose essence of it. Do you kind of feel where I'm going there?
No, I do. It's okay, here's an analogy for you. Yeah. So if somebody said, you're going to get chocolate ice cream every night for dessert, mm-hmm. the first day you're like, this is cool. The second day you're like, still kind of cool. But by the time you start getting into the fifth week, sixth week, eighth week, you're like, really? Chocolate ice cream again? Can we mix it up with some strawberry or something?
Well, that's amazing, because what you just pointed out really is going in the direction of what I was stating, that over time we get sick of it. You kind of added a temporary solution. If we can mix it up, add some chocolate chips, Oreos, Hershey's syrup, strawberries, fruit, and the whole nine yards.
We're not a fasting group of people right now at all.
I just felt my stomach say, hey, stop it. But, I think after a while, you tend to feel tired of it. And it becomes, even if you accept it and you eat it on a day-to-day basis, it becomes just a ritual and a culture. Since you brought up ice cream, I'll give you a small story. Many, many, many years ago, went to Umrah in Saudi Arabia with my family, and we ran after the Dhuhr prayer to grab a burger from Burger King. And right around the corner from Burger King, there is a small pastry stand. And once the kids finished their food, they're like, we want some donuts. I was like, sure, why not? We'll grab some donuts. And then there's no asking for food until later at night after the Isha prayer. So we got Asr Maghrib Isha. And there's no questioning about food or, telling me that you're hungry. So they went and purchased their donuts. And on the way back to the table, there was a child on the floor sitting with his family after we identified that child was from Afghanistan. And they were eating rice on this plastic sheet. And so one of my daughters said, why don't we share with the boy? I said, sure, that's totally up to you. Go ahead and do it. And I could still remember, Carl, the look in the eye of this child when he touched this donut, not knowing what it was. I believe it was an eclair. So it's a longer donut, cream filled, and a chocolate on top. Forget what was inside and what was on top. He was still at awe with what it was. And I'm sure that was a spoiling moment for him, because maybe he's never touched a donut before. But I'm sure it's something that he relished and something that he'll remember for his life, because it's not something that children on the streets of Afghanistan have the facility to go every morning to Dunkin' Donuts or to Starbucks and pick up a coffee and some donuts. It's not there. I'm giving you this story because I want their listeners and yourself and myself to remind ourselves of how we would value something we never had touched or something that we seldomly may come across in our life. Now, if given that story, Carl, and I want to kind of loop it back to where I'm going, I feel for us Muslims, those who are, Muslims for a long time or born Muslims or growing up in Muslim families or Muslim communities, I really felt this last 10 days based on my observation that we've lost the essence of what Ramadan is. I really feel it this year that we've lost the essence. And I'll tell you why, Carl. I was in Arizona for the weekend, and I was doing programs there with the mosque in Tempe and visiting the youngsters. We had a great program overnight. I was just amazed. The energy was tremendous. But before breaking fast that day, a close friend of mine, Chris, he called me and said, why don't you come and do iftar with my family and I? And I was like, Chris, I think I should go to the masjid. He goes, but you need some downtime because you had a busy Juma schedule until like 3, 4 o'clock. And then, you're going to be busy once you get back into that masjid. So have some downtime. I said, fine. What do you propose? He goes, we go to this restaurant my family and I heard of, and let's go and check it out. So he picked me up around 6:30, I believe, and we drove to this beautiful Moroccan restaurant. And alhamdulillah, they were a full reservation, but they found enough space to accommodate us. And alhamdulillah. They accommodated us in the furthest corner of the restaurant, which was next to a small area designated for prayer. Now, we got there with great time at hand. I believe we still had a good 45-50 minutes till the time of fasting would complete and it would be time to break the fast. So we sat there talking, you know, speaking with his children and his wife, or just getting to know each other and talking about common things and, you know, different perspectives on things. And in the last 25 minutes or so, Carl, people start pouring in. And it was good to see people coming in to break their fast. The first thing I saw, which kind of alarmed me, was everyone was coming really dressed up for the occasion. And, you know, I'm no one here to judge anyone, and I don't ever judge anyone. And forgive me, anyone, if I ever did judge anyone. But, you know, it was more like there was a big party going on or wedding. There was no feel that this was an iftar. You know, it's good for restaurants to host iftars. It's good for families to occasionally get away from home and maybe to a masjid or to a restaurant and get together and have iftar. I'm all in for it. But remember, it was a Friday night, the first Friday of Ramadan. Fridays are blessed days and blessed nights, and especially Ramadan gives it that extra blessing. It's like the cherry and icing on top of the ice cream itself. But everyone was coming in dressed up as if it was a party. So first of all, the vibe was really wrong. Number two, when we were small, Carl, like we would go to the masjid as children and we would help put the food out on the tables and on the sufra, the cloths on the floor, and you know, everyone would sit down. In the last 5-7 minutes, it would be complete silence. And people would be raising their hands and praying and crying and thanking Allah for their blessings. You know, there was a feel. And of course, it's backed by hadith. It's those last minutes of the night before you break the fast that the dua is accepted. And the dua and the supplication, dua means supplication. The supplication and prayer of a fasting person at the time of breaking fast is never rejected. So Carl, tell me, isn't that valuable?
It's very valuable. I can't think of a better time to be able to make dua than in the middle of fasting, right before you break your fast, because like you said, it's always accepted. So
you got the time of breaking fast on a Friday in Ramadan,
right?
It's like, as they would say, nurun ala nur, it's light on light, it's gold water on gold. It's like the best thing happening. It's priceless. Let's simplify. It's priceless. All you heard was the clamor, the noise, the laughter, the shouting, the screaming continued to increase. And just like 5 minutes maybe before the time of breaking fast, people lined up to grab their iftar, and there was no dua. And I felt very uncomfortable, because that's when it hit me. I'm not saying that was the only place it occurred. It's happening around, but that was a moment when I really noticed it, that what's going wrong in this picture? So people are lining up, laughing and joking and talking, and they're getting their food. And of course, as unfortunately many of us have witnessed, if not experienced, at time of breaking fast, the eyes are bigger than the stomach.
Yes.
And so we fill up the plate like it's a mountain in Fiji, and we don't complete it. And so the time of breaking fast, it was time of breaking the fast. My friend, he picked up a few dates and water and some juice. We all broke our fast. And I said to him, let's go pray, because it's right next to us. It's right there.
Right, yeah.
So we prayed. And I remember it's him and myself, and his wife and daughters also prayed. And no one else came. And so by the time we finished praying and we prayed our sunnah, our voluntary prayers after the obligatory prayers, I said to his wife and his children, please, you go stand in line, at least get in line. Because the line had really rung around the whole restaurant.
Yeah.
But by that time, it was halfway complete, so they got in line. And then him and I followed suit. The food was there. It's not like the food finished.
Right,
Our share. We took our desserts. We went to the table. And not to be judgmental, Carl, but it was an observation that really, really shocked me. And that's why I really, when that moment I heard the clamor, the noise, the lack of observation of the precious moment of time, I kept observing then. I said, let me see what happens. in a restaurant full of maybe 150 people, less than 12 people prayed. And, you know, I'm not saying they didn't go home and pray.
Yeah.
I'm not here to judge. You know, inshallah, everyone did the prayer. Maybe they prayed in their seats. I don't know. But it felt so off. That's not Ramadan. Look, we have to understand one thing. We all do our stuff, but Ramadan is the month that doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're a devout scholar or Muslim or preacher or practicing Muslim, or you're just what you consider yourself to be, a regular Joe Muslim. Every Muslim in this month, their spirituality increases hundreds of percent. Hundreds. I'm not saying tens or ones, hundreds of percent. Let me give you a reason why. You may go to the masjid once a week for Jummah. But yeah. Now because of Ramadan, you're going 4 days a week. You just increased 400%, 300% on what you're accustomed to. Or you go once in a week, now you're going once a day or once a night in addition to the Jummah. So you've increased 700%. You understand, it is, these numbers are staggering. You may read one page of Quran a week, but now you're reading one page of Quran a day. You've increased 800%. It is a time where no one loses. Everyone is gaining, and everyone's gaining in leaps and bounds. The problem is that you don't want to lose it also. So you're like, you're filling up a bucket, but the bucket has holes on the bottom, so you're losing. And so that's what really caught me. I feel and I fear. The reality is we've lost the essence of Ramadan. We truly have.
No, I kind of know what you're saying. And, you know, I know the adage of what Allah has covered, we're not supposed to uncover, but I'm guilty of it. I've done that. I've had those moments, and it, and you're right. I know the first year, maybe it was the second year that I was married, you know, my wife was real upset and I couldn't really figure out why. And it's because it didn't feel like Ramadan. It wasn't the Ramadan that she remembered. It wasn't the Ramadan that she grew up with. And that wasn't there, you know?
She felt upset because that wasn't the Ramadan. And I understand that, because in those days, I feel that we were more observant of what was happening around us, and the smallest or the slightest change irritated us. You know, why isn't things going the way they're supposed to go? I recall in our house, when Ramadan came about, Dad opened that special drawer, a drawer which he wouldn't open otherwise. And he would then, of course, take out his special clothing, and there would be special incense in the house. And the Quran that was a special Quran would be unwrapped. And there would be a cassette. We had an intercom system in our house. So the Quran would be playing throughout the house. And if that wasn't happening, that alone was enough to tell us there's something wrong.
Yeah, and I think, I know it's not good to like make excuses or whatever, but for me, I really, you know, after I converted, I was living on my own. I was single. And so Ramadan, the first real like official iftar I had was with her and her mother. And I actually went to ask for her hand in marriage and have iftar all at the same time. And can I tell you, that was also where I was introduced to fine Egyptian kufta.
Oh, dude, I
was like, this is okay. I'm just going to move in right now. I'm just going to get this every night. Halas, we're done. No, but, but, and that was, and so it was a learning curve for me that special outfit, that special incense, that Quran playing, that had to be done, because for me, I didn't know. I mean, it, but as we've grown together, and as I've spent more time with her friends, I'm seeing that it's supposed to be a very deep spiritual time, but it's also supposed to be more like Christmas. I is the only thing I can currently equate it to, but it's also supposed to have that moment of, you know, and I think this is one of the first things that you and I talked about when we started this Ramadan series, was that I'm under the impression, and I've always been told, that everything is doubled. So, and I hate using points analogy, but let's use it. Let's say Allah gives you 100 points for praying Asr. In Ramadan, he's going to give you, you know, 400 points for praying Ramadan. And then, you know, as you were saying just a minute ago, if you go to the mosque and pray Jummah it's even bigger now because you're in Ramadan. And to let every single one of those possible blessings, possible whatever, to let all of that hasanat just go because, hey, we're hanging out with our friends and we want to eat more. It's such a waste. It's such a waste.
And that's where, you know, you hit on two very important points. Number one, you stated it's like Christmas. Yes, it's like Christmas in the sense that there's going to be a celebration. But in order to celebrate something, there has to be something you're celebrating, if that makes sense. You know, you don't go to a graduation ceremony when nobody's graduated, right? And nor do you go
you
to
could,
a
but you'd look really weird just hanging out in a gymnasium by yourself.
Exactly. And you don't go to a wedding reception when you're not getting married. Like, you know, if you're inviting people to a wedding reception, you might be getting married. If not, then it's not the party that you've titled it to be. In a similar fashion, Ramadan is work in progress, and then you celebrate in Eid. So you work towards gaining a connection that's worth celebrating with the Eid ul-Fitr, the Eid of feast, the celebration of feast. I feel everyone's celebrating before the celebration, and when the real celebration comes, there's nothing to celebrate for. So that's why I'm really hitting this point home. It's imperative. And yes, you're right, Carl. In Ramadan, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, every voluntary act is weighed as a compulsory act. And every compulsory act is multiplied 70 times.
70 times. 70 thank you.
Compulsory acts. Now, those 70 compulsory acts, each of them hold their own weight. You multiply that. Then you multiply by the time and the day and the place and the congregation and the mosque. These are numbers that are, you know, they're like one of those poof moments. It's mind-boggling. How can someone feel at ease knowing that all this is out there and they just want to let it go? They'll say, it's fine, you know, let's have fun. It's a time to cook new meals that we don't cook during the course of the year. So let the women and men folks spend the majority of the time in the kitchen when they could have been spending time sitting down, just reading Quran and made ramen noodles. You know what? You're not going to gain weight in Ramadan. You're not supposed to gain weight in Ramadan. And if you do gain weight in Ramadan, that means there was still attention directed to the body, not the soul. The body needs to suffer this month. I think we spoke about that in our What a Relief podcast. We spoke about it last week. The article that was written highlighted it. The body's not going to die if the soul is now being rejuvenated, if the soul is being born again. Let it play its course. Don't rush it. Allow the leaves to grow. Allow the flowers to come forth, and allow those flowers to become the seeds of the plants. The fruits, and allow those fruits to grow to their full. And then pluck one of those fruits and give it some time to ripe. Once it's ripe, like a mango, it'll be so juicy, it'll be so tasty. I'm saying mango, Carl, because it's mango season here right now. And I haven't ate a mango yet, so I'm really like beating myself up. How come I haven't gotten into the mangoes yet? But inshallah, after
inshallah.
So Carl, it's a process. The plant will grow, the leaves, the branches will come, the leaves, the flowers, the fruits. When they grow, you take it off, give it some more time, then you'll have the pleasure of it. Please, brothers and sisters, especially our Muslim brothers and sisters around the world who are listening, who are fasting, really take a moment to stop and observe. Is my direction really going in the right? Am I going in the right direction? Is my direction focused on my goals and objectives? If not, there's still time. Let's make a change. You know, parties are fine. Iftar parties are great. But remember, the 10-20 minutes before that should be engaged in making dua, and supplication, reciting verses of the Holy Quran, and looking at the Quran itself. There could be moments of silence in these parties, and that's perfectly fine, because we talk and we gossip in all other occasions and all other parties. If we want to make these parties unique, it'll be more toned towards the Islamic tradition of spirituality, towards Islamic tradition of simplicity, towards a tradition of easy eating and not such so much effort made on the food itself, and not eating so to our capacity and to beyond our full, just taking it easy. And by doing that, you'll allow the mercy of Allah of these 10 days, which are almost done, to set in. And that mercy will allow you to see that, hey, the soul is there and I'm fine. And so with that, Carl, I think, you know, I wanted to share that observation of how I felt that alarmed by this. And I'm hoping and praying that this culture and tradition doesn't take over the essence of what is Ramadan, just as Santa Claus, Rudolph, the Grinch, and
Frosty the Snowman.
Frosty Snowman has taken over what is the essence of Christianity's Christmas, which was supposed to be about Jesus.
Absolutely. So do you want to do a closing and switch?
Yeah, I'll do a closing and switch on this.
Got it. Okay. And we'll edit all of that out. Right. No, you're absolutely right. The concept of Christmas and what it was and how it came about is something that I have personally always had problems with. Just the core essence of what it is. And to see what Coke did with Santa Claus and how it just has overrun that it's. And so for anybody that's listening and watching and paying attention to this, you've got two Muslims right here that are saying Christmas is too commercialized. Maybe you should put some of the religion back in Christmas. So just take note of that. But
that's right, Carl. And that's what we fear, because there's a time and a place and a space for everything. Islam, and I'm sure in Christianity also, there's no prohibition that you can't have family functions and eat together and have picnics and have fun and exchange gifts. It's not prohibited. There's nothing saying explicitly this is wrong, but there's a time and a space. And when we try to take over every single practice and performance and occasion and opportunity to try to make it a unified theme of enjoyment and pleasure and partying and celebrating, then we lose essence. The mosque has a spiritual touch. The markets have a shopping pleasure. The parks have a time of leisure. And the mountains and the forest gives you a sense of serenity. If we try to make the forest like the malls, and we make the playgrounds and the parks the malls, then we're kind of losing essence on what those places are. They're different because they have different purposes. So the mercy of Allah entails a little bit of struggle. And be selfish this month. My closing words today is, Carl, be selfish. It's all about you and what you can do to make yourself better. When you walk into a gym, and I know there's hundreds of gyms out there, there's so many fitness centers and, you know, LA Fitness, and I'm just looking at the names and the boards I remember all across the city. Like, there's so many exercise places that people go to for fitness, and when they walk in there, everyone is focused on
fitness.
And but fitness for who?
Themselves. Themselves. Selfish fitness.
On the treadmill, I don't care what that person is doing on the elliptical. I don't care what that person is doing lifting weights. That's good for them. I'm here for myself. I don't care if there's anyone here or if there's no one here. I'm here for myself. Ramadan, my brothers and sisters, friends and fellow listeners, it's about you. Until you don't equip yourself with what's necessary you can't change the world. And of course, Islam's bigger picture is to make the world a better place. And it can't happen until we make ourselves better people. And the only time in Islam during the course of an annual cycle that you can make yourself better is in the month of Ramadan. So my closing words, Carl, is simple. Be selfish. 10 days are almost done. 20 days are left. Make sure we become selfish.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we send you off into the world to be a light to the world, to enlighten the world, to share the world with our neighbors, and to be selfish. We want to thank everybody who's downloaded this episode. We want to thank everybody who's commented. We want to thank everybody who has shared this episode with someone. And if you're listening to this because you found it and somebody shared it with you, reach out to us. Let us know. One of the things that we love here is getting comments. I know we've gotten comments from Arizona, California. And my favorite one thus far is, It was South Africa, right?
Yes.
Yeah, South Africa. And that continuously blows my mind that we can sit here and talk about Ramadan and somebody in South Africa is listening to us talk about Ramadan. Unfortunately, I really hope that we're not ruining his Ramadan by talking about ice cream and mangoes so much this episode, but there it is. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will say thank you, Imam Azhar, for joining us this evening. I will say thank you to everyone who is downloading and listening to this and sharing this. And until next time, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.